Kath, would you like to tell me where you were born?
Yeah. I was born at Strines Farm, up here, nearly. Little remote place just below Mermaid. Second at youngest, out of 10. My great parents, me mum and dad, were great good folk, you know, great hard working, good.
What were the names?
Good character, Arthur Belfield and Alice.
And what was your dad known as?
Taffy.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
His dad died when he was 10. And so they had to pull him out of school when he was 13. And then that was his job then, run for all responsibilities laid on him.
So was that his family farm originally?
Yes. Well, it were rented.
Yeah. Was it Harper Crewe then?
I had to be part of Crewe and Harper Estate, yeah.
And what sort of farming did they do up there?
Sheep and milk. Me dad had polio when he was 17. And he come out of hospital and he was in calipers. And forget going, because he couldn't walk uphill in calipers. But forget his legs going. He used to go backwards up hills. First he had to sit down to go backwards, and then he got going, he'd be walking backwards on steps. And that's what got him going again. And then he had a motorbike, because he could ride a motorbike, you see, and then he learned how to drive a car with moving his legs with his hands. And then he ended up taxiing, and he sort of run a, well, it wouldn't be an official job, he then would it up in hills. And that's where he met my mother, running folk dances on Fridays and Saturday nights.
So where was your mum from?
My mother was from Smallshire. It's a little place just below where Ken Buxton used to live. Well, you know, where Buxton's.
Yeah. So when are we talking then, roughly? When was this?
Well, my mum was born in 1916.
So we're talking
about... And my dad was older. I think my dad was born in 1908.
So we're talking about 1930s, aren't we?
Yes, probably, yeah.
So how many cows would they milk then?
Up at Strathams, probably about 15 or 20.
Quite a few.
I see what good milking my mother was, because my dad couldn't have milk. We'd been crippled. But he had a thrashing box, because he couldn't have joined the army for national service. He had ended up with a thrashing box. So it tended to be, my dad was out with thrashing box all winter, my mum did oat milking. Like me, when I was born, we were all born in Middlebury, and she'd never been in hospital till she was 82, and had 10 kids, my mother. And she milked in the morning, and she had me at 11 o'clock, and she milked again at night. You know, you think folks say they've got it hard today, but they don't know they were born, really.
And I mean, it's such an exposed place up there, isn't it?
Well, day after I was born, there come a blizzard. I was born on 17th of April, and there come a blizzard. And they were out fetching sheep and lambs in, because they'd been lambing and doing. And they said they got sheep and lambs everywhere. They want lofts anywhere to save them, anywhere out at snow to save them. And they said house were full of boxes. And she said it got, day after she said it got about 9 o'clock at night. And lads were out with candles and jam jars looking for sheep, you know, best they could. And lads wouldn't be great ages, would they?
No.
And, our aunt come in and did a great ruckus snapping for them all. And she said, "He bloody hell, that kid's never been fed, and they reckon I've had 8 teeth since 8 o'clock in the morning. And never walk up and never scrape and nothing." But they said, "Ass were full of sheep and lambs and all sorts." They said it was chaos. They'd even got them upstairs. You know, because then, if you like lost a sheep, you could end up losing everything, couldn't you? You know what I mean? Mm. Well, my mother was always very proud. She'd had 10 kids, and she'd be at 10, because not many did that.
No.
There was a lot of losses, and there were a lot of folk couldn't afford to feed the kids. They had far more mind.
Mm.
And like all our lads, as they grew up and left, wouldn't say left school, in a way they were farmed out, they went and worked away from home and lived in.
Mm.
And my mum and dad went round to pick the places for them to go. And in a way they were farmed out to make ways for us little ones.
Mm. Because there wasn't always space either, was there, in houses as well?
Well, there was 3 bedrooms. Mum and Dad's with middle bedroom, and girls with far end, with one bed, and lads with first bedroom, with stairs going up, and just a wardrobe really, but separated, and they 2 beds. And when we was all at home, all lads were in 2 beds, And folk used to stop. When our aunt was courting Jeff used to stop and sleep with lads. Bunk in. But because I was one at Littlands, I were lucky really, because I had 2 biggins either side of me, so I was always snug, you know what I mean? But my mum reared us all, and I never had a cot. We all started life in a draw. And then you went from draw to between 2 chairs, and once you could get out of that, you were big enough for bed. And that's how we did it all.
Mm-hmm.
But we had happy days. And they were, you know, good parents. Good folk, really.
So what do you remember about your childhood up there?
Always happy, really. We were always, there was always something sort of going on. But everybody sort of, we were always sort of busy, but it's good busy when you're a kid, isn't it? Mm. Stuff happening. Mm. And like, lads would go off work and they always come home for the Sunday dinners and bought the wages. So, my mum had wages off them all, and then they all had pocket money. And that's how it was when I left school at 16. My mum had me wage till I was 18, and then she gave me pocket money. Then when I was 18, it's like you pay board and lodgings then, and we're responsible for your own money. But and our Carol bought a motorbike. He saved up and bought a motorbike, so as he could pick them all up, and he'd give them all an extra hour on a Sunday at home. And but they'd come home and they'd all work and then have a bit of dinner and go again. But they come home and that and bring you a toffee or some of those little ones. So we was always pleased to see them, you know. Mm. And,
what happened to the milk?
It went in churns, ain't they, but I suppose when others were younger, it'd be horse and cart, but me dad, I ain't that.
And where would he take it then, Road End?
No, it went to top of Podmore's Drive, top of Cactar.
Oh, fair run, like.
Yeah, it was all dropped. Everybody sort of round that area left it. There was a big stand there at top of Cactar, and everybody took it.
Yeah.
Took it up to stand, like, and if there was any messages or anything like that, folk used to put notes under. Return churns. You'd leave your message on the churn and churn man you'd check, and then he was a bit like postman really.
Yeah, yeah.
And these,
because you'd no phone.
Oh no.
Have you got electric?
No.
Anything? Yeah. Got water?
Yeah, water at the back door, yeah.
Oh, natural water.
Yeah, natural water, yeah. I think there were a tap.
But it'd be spring up there, wouldn't it? Well, no shortage of water up there, is there?
Yeah. No, there were trough at back door. I don't think there were tap at all. The big trough, it was always running in.
So you'd use that for everything?
Yeah.
Drinking and everything?
Yeah.
So, Any more stories about the farming up there?
When my mum and dad were up at Strines, my dad had bought his first Jersey cow. Would come from Jersey. And he went to pick that up at Liverpool Docks. He'd seen that swing over in a net, in a cargo net. He went fetch that. And they called her Merivale.
Merivale?
Merivale. And for 3 months after she calved, my mother used to have milk for 3 times a day, and she gave 12 gallons a day.
12 gallons a day?
She gave 12 gallons a day.
A Jersey cow?
A Jersey cow. And that could be like in the 50s.
Did you manage to keep breeding off her?
Oh, they had one or two off her, but they were none as just as good as her.
Yeah.
They said she was a starter, you know, and I think she wore for years and years and years and years. But other than milking, my dad could do every job, really, because he'd had polio at 17. Which left him crippled. He always said there's two ways of looking at everything. There's a lot of ways of looking at things, and if you can't do something one way, if you think about it, you can do it another, which I think in general, most farmers are pretty good at anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
As a breed.
Yeah.
They'll always work something out. And like shearing, they drive 3 stakes in, and tie him up. And then I'd wind, or us little'uns wind, and bigger lads stick sheep to him. And sheared. And he learnt all lads shear on dead sheep. He started them very young, but they all sheared dead sheep to start with. Because anything died, they used to do with hand clippers.
Keep the wool, didn't they?
Yeah. Because wool was often worth more than sheep then.
Then, yeah.
So all lads learned shear very young.
So what happened with the thrashing box then?
So, and then in 1947, it could be when our Anne was 5, because she was supposed to be going to school and she ended up not going to school till she was 6. Because my mum couldn't take her really, because my dad was in hospital and he was servicing thrashing box. Because him and Billy Watters, his granddad, run thrashing rounds. And it dragged him in. And he went through the thrashing box and they said he'd come out, knocked to bits.
Well, normally that killed people, didn't he?
Yeah, they said he'd come out and the only thing he got left on was his collars and cuffs off his shirt and the rim off the top of his welly. And that was the only thing left on him to knock him to bits. And he went weak in hospital. But he come out and saw over that. Because when he'd had polio at 17, they said he'd never have children. So he had 10, just proving wrong. Marvellous fella, my dad, a patience of Job. If you were learning your tie shoelaces, it didn't matter. If you 30 goes, he'd keep showing you. Oh, he showed me loads of stuff, half a block, even half a sharp and a penknife. But it didn't matter how long it took you to learn. He'd learn you. Patience of you. But I reckon that was suffering and struggling. I always think out of illness or anything, it's like these Paralympians. They come out better folk in a way. Not that you'd wish anything bad on anybody. And our Trevor was the same, you see. Our Trevor had a very serious bad accident. And he was unconscious for 8 weeks. And my mother saved his life, like I was telling you earlier, because there were no drips, no nothing. His sort just died, really. But my mother weren't losing none of hers. And they fetched Trevor home and sent him with a wheelchair. And my dad sent him back with a wheelchair. And they all said, everybody around said, he's a cruel old bugger, who'd Arthur Belfield is. Gonna let that lad have a wheelchair. And he went and knocked Orchard Wall down, which was a big 6 foot high wall. And he says to Trevor, go build that wall. He said, Dad, I can't even get across yard. He says, don't build that wall. He says, if you're grown. And within 4 months, the garden wall was up and Trevor was walking and doing, and he went and led a very useful, active working life. Well, he worked for Bill Johnson for years, and milked. He was up at 4 every morning milking. And there was nothing Trevor couldn't do. Don't get me wrong, he fell over a bit because his balance was shot at. Mm. But if he'd have come home in a wheelchair, he'd have stopped in a wheelchair.
Yeah, could have done, yeah.
And when folks saw how he turned out, they all said, bye. Hey, Ralph, I knew what he would do. He'd send his wheelchair away.
Mm.
And you see, if you strive, you always get somewhere, don't you? Mm. If you strive, and like these Paralympics strive to do something,
mm.
and the examples to us all really, and I think that's sort of been instilled in us all really, in all of us.
What you've seen.
Yeah, if you're trying to do something, try it another way and you'll get there. Mm. And if you work hard, you get on a bit, you know. Well, I think you could then, I don't know if you do today, but you could then.
So, you left school at 16. Were your mum and dad still at Strines then?
No, we moved to Padwick then. With an electric and an indoor toilet.
This is at Low
Hill? Low Hill, yeah.
So that was quite a turn up then. When you moved there, kind of country.
Yeah, it was all very exciting. We got a bath and everything.
So, you left school at 16.
Yeah, I'd actually got a job at John Clark's.
On the farm?
Yeah. But my mother says that, you leave school on Friday. I says, yeah, start at Clark's on Saturday morning. She says, you're not. I says, yeah, I must have been up and seen John Clark, got a job up at John Clark. And she said, no, we're not having you for army. And my mum and dad were dead against it. They didn't want us having a mall in life like they'd had a mall in life. And she said, Edie's got your job at Ali Models in factory, so you start there Monday. So they wouldn't let me farm at all.
So what was your job there?
I was an apprentice sewer, which was very, very bad at. And they sent me into like what they call training school. And I couldn't sew for taffy. In Ali Models, there were about 3 girls as were top machinists, and my sister Edie was one of them. But I wasn't going to follow suit. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So a job come up in cutting room. So somebody come up and said, try her in cutting room, you see, or she'll have to go. Anyway, I went in this, it was a little cutting room, it wasn't a big cutting room. And I was brilliant at that. Absolutely brilliant at that. Now, our Edie was a top machinist, and she was earning between £23 and £27 a week. And I'd been there 6 weeks. And once I got on that piece, pick on that cutting, I was taking home about £38-40 a week.
So that's mid-1970s.
Yeah. Like I say, our Edie was a top machinist. And she'd worked there for 2 years. So our Edie picked my wage up. And my wage went straight to my mum. And my mum gave me £2 a week. Spending, you see. Which we thought was brilliant. So I never got my wage, and I always had my wage slip. Our Edie always showed me what, and she used to say, don't tell anybody what you heard. Whatever you do, don't tell anybody what you heard. Because she said, you don't do that in factories, and she says, you're earning too much. There'll be a lot of jealousy.
Mm.
So everything was tickling along, tickety bit. And then somebody stole my wage packet out of our Edie's bag. And it went over the factory what I was earning. So then, on the Monday morning, I'm in the office. You're earning too much. You've got to slow down. Well, I couldn't slow down. I said, girls couldn't earn the money.
Mm.
So week after, I'm in office again on Monday morning. This can't go. So they put a time and motion woman on me. Anyway, it went rumbled on for several weeks. And in the end up, they said, they threatened sack me 3 times for earning too much. So I went, walked to Adams, he's at dinner time, and got myself another job. Give them a week's notice. Went to Adams's. Then they had to put 4 girls on to do my job. So they were paid the same amount of wages anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what was your job over at Adams's?
Just packing, catering packs. Brain dead. Brain dead.
You know, how long did this take that?
About 18 months. It's just brain dead. Shifts.
Were you still hankering about farming?
Yeah, well, I used to farm. I used to milk before I went work. But like with shift patterns, I could either milk in the morning and miss nights. I'd just milk once a day except weekends. No, no, I could work at home on farm, but they didn't want me farming.
Mm. So how many cows were you milking there?
At home, at my mother's. Oh, only between 15 and 16. Mind you, saying that, you see, it'd take you all day to look after 20 cows on a little system. You can look after 100 in the same amount of time because you've got more mechanisation. That was all wheelbarrows and...
Was your dad still living then?
Yeah, yeah. I went working at Sigley's and my dad died when I was 18. When I was at Sigley's.
What were you doing at Sigley's?
I was a coffin sprayer. But I could fill in any job. I went for a job at Sigley's. Christine interviewed me. This was a lady from the youth club. I used to go Millwood All Youth Club. And Christine says, there's a job at our place if you're fed up with ships. And she really interviewed me. And then Fred came in, Fred Sigley. He was a grey-haired, goofy guy. Biggy, shorter guy. And he got an apron on, all covered in overspray, and he looked like Wurzel Gummidge. He says to me, he points his finger at me, he goes, I don't like women, and I don't like women in my workshop, so as long as you don't speak to me, I'll pay you every Friday. So I started there on the Monday, and we ended up best mates, me and Fred Sigley did. So I ended up, I was a coffin sprayer in the end. But I used to do all the fitments, linings and handles for Sigley's as well. But I worked my way up. I could do every job in place, so I could make the coffee from start to finish.
Hmm. That's where you learnt your joinery skills, was it?
Yes, probably, yeah. Yeah, because my mother used to say, that's a nice, because we used to take firewood home, which was all off-cuts. My mother said, oh, that'll make a nice little box, so then I'd make a little box, so... Something to put sticks in, or... So we bits of coffee furniture all over his house, really. Me dad died when I was... Which kind of impacted greatly on you, which it does when you're young. So I made me dad's coffee, and put myself fully lined it, very proud of that lovely job. I fell out at Sigley's, which wasn't my fallout, really. I fell out because they all wanted a rise and they nominated me to ask. And then when I asked, they all said they hadn't. They all said, well, I've been a rise or I'm leaving. Anyway, he gave me my rise on my last day, but on principle, because he didn't ask me to stay and left. And then I went farming, really. Went working for Frank at Tinnock Farm Goresworth. Because my dad had died and my mother... Said you must do what you want, then.